Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, stanky legs?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jay Stu, I just may.
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your death.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. We are very close to Hanukkah is over. Now it's all steam ahead to Christmas. And you have Sarge and Mr. James Stewart celebrating that.
With all that stuff in the news lately about Baby It's Cold Outside, that song keeps popping in my head, the Sarge version.
Now, what's the problem with the Baby It's Cold Outside?
Oh, it was like, it sounded like a station wanted to go viral by, I forget what state it was in, but they ended up, you know, every year there's a station that plays like all Christmas music. And they said that they had received complaints because of the Me Too movement that Baby It's Cold Outside is a aggressive song towards women and that it shouldn't be played anymore.
Well, obviously, if the woman says, okay, I should really leave, and he says, it's cold outside, why don't you stay?
Sure. And
I don't know. It's not like, hey, I lock the door and you can't get out.
And they got what they wanted, and everyone talked about it, and people can put on their Facebooks, whoa, what kind of PC world are we in? I guess no one's ever heard rap music. So that's great and all, and I've been listening to every time I hear that song or anyone talk about it, the Sarge version gets my head. But the one song that honestly I have been singing probably since Thanksgiving, because this song is everywhere, is this version of it.
You're up, man. All right, go ahead.
Creeping around the locker room at the wrestling event. Hey, it's the Million Dollar Man. I'm gonna steal his jock.
I sing that every time I hear that song.
Is that the end of it?
It's the end of it. There's really no more to the story than that. He's just creeping around the locker room.
Yeah. Now he just listens to it. He goes, yeah, Sarge in the locker room.
That's right. No charge with the Sarge for that underwear that's sitting around. So I just, every time, and that song, probably out of all the Christmas songs, is probably the most played whenever you're shopping, whatever, and it's always, hey, it's the Million Dollar Man, I'm gonna steal his jock. And when you sing that out loud, it's not probably the best idea.
when he steals his jock, is that something that's framed? Or is that hung from, it's a coyote's ugly situation.
Where hung from the chimney with care.
Yeah, where no. It's, yeah, that could be his stocking.
I think it's Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. I think it's a little more of a huffing situation.
Well, that smoke. Hey!
That's a Paul Stanley situation.
Yeah!
Paul Stanley, it's good to hear from you. Is this Pink Eye Paul Stanley?
Well, listen. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, Paul!
Yeah?
You need ointment. You got pink eye from Cindy Apple.
I mean,
he only stole one jock. Rookie move.
What do you want for Christmas this year? Or actually, Hanukkah. I don't know what religion you are. You're Hanukkah, right?
I'm every religion. I'm in the. You know my religion?
What's that?
Rock and roll.
Okay, that's a God gave rock and roll to you. That's right. I mean,
there is a high power, and that is the song "Heaven's on Fire."
What was that song I texted you the other day that I heard from
kids? I got it!
That I'd never heard before? It was like called... Oh.
It's called like, get it up!
Yeah, it was like the worst Kiss euphemism that I had ever heard before.
Rise to it! Yeah,
Rise to it was the name of the song. It was like, when you're lying next to me, girl, you know what's going... What does he say? You know, baby, for me, I'm going to rise to it. I'm like, ooh. Like, Kiss with the makeup was bad. Without the makeup was even worse.
Ooh. Rise to it, Kiss him!
That's right.
I'm out of the hamper.
Thank you very much, Pink Eye Paul Stanley. In all seriousness, you're going to that show in March, right?
Yes.
Okay, I can't wait for that. I mean, that's gonna be, it's either March or April, I forget. But there's no way I'm missing that concert.
No, because but I really do because I'd say about 40% of the fun, maybe 30, is Ace struggling around the stage.
Have you seen them without Ace? Like, have you seen them since we
no.
saw them together? Okay, it's so much better if Ace and Peter are there because Peter just. Can't play drums anymore.
Right.
It looks like he's in pain trying to keep a beat. Like, you could see the grimace on his face just to play the simplest of beats because they're all simple beats in Kiss. And Ace just gets drunk and forgets the words, and that's hysterical. But it doesn't matter. As long as Paul Stanley's on stage, it is worth every penny to get a good seat to the show, to get up close so you can just watch every little facial expression of Paul Stanley. And hear every single bad sexual euphemism that fails horribly.
If they're playing the Garden into anyone under the age of 40, I apologize. But if they are playing the Garden, they have to bring back the original lineup.
No. This is the final tour.
Yeah, but we saw their final tour
years ago.
15 years ago.
I think that it's selling very well. Like, I'm pretty sure it's selling well.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's sold out, but I mean, might be like 80% sold.
Because they were half selling sheds just a couple years ago.
Sure, but they're making this a big deal. Like, this is the last one. And I know they do that a lot, but, you know, this one, I guess, people are somewhat believing.
The best is, okay. The best is when Kiss comes out and with other people. Because that's the intention, is that they're going to continue Kiss without Gene and Paul.
Dude, the show is nearly, I don't want to say nearly sold out, but it's about probably 80 to 90% sold out.
I want to take time to work on my art.
There are, man, tickets on the floor, kind of near the front. Like, this is like maybe 10th row. They're $745 a ticket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But don't ever put it past Gene Simmons to not try to milk every single dollar out of everyone.
I wonder how they came up with that.
Yeah, it seems like that's a weird number.
How about this? The back of the floor is $225. Although, however, back of the floor, but it's by the B stage. And you know what that is.
Oh, that's where he flies out.
That's when Love Gun happens. And he's like, yeah, I need you to come invite me out to see you. And here's this rock and roll meter. The louder you get, the higher the meter goes. And, of course, like, nothing changes. And all of a sudden it goes into the red.
Right. Yeah. You know, I came in here and they said, Paul, you got, what is that? Security says. And I said, that's 8 inches of cold, hard steel. Love Gun.
I mean, dude. You have to. It's the best comedy show that you'll go to all year. I mean, it's so unintentionally funny.
Plus, Paul's going to be all emotional. This is going to be the last pick I flick off my nipple. Cherish it! Because that's his big thing, John, is he licks the pick, he sticks it, and he's got hairy chest.
I've seen this.
And it kind of floats above his nipple on the hair, and then he just goes boink.
There's no concert that I just want to bring everyone I know to. Like, I want everyone at some point to experience what it's like to see Paul Stanley
live.
When
is this?
It is March 26th.
Okay.
It's a Tuesday night, and literally everyone I know I want to bring to the show.
I don't think I'm going to be here.
Tuesday, March 26th?
I might be out of town.
No, you'll be here for that. I mean, that's that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's for.
Yeah, that's the book.
Spring book.
Yeah, you'll be here. But, I mean, you got to go. Don't miss it. And it truly would suck if this is the last time that they do this. I know it won't be, and they're going to pride tour for another 20 years. But just don't miss Paul Stanley. I can't stress that it is so unintentionally funny.
And plus, Gene's not moving around too good anymore.
Gene is just.
How old are they now? All of them.
I mean, 60. They're probably like late 50s.
All right.
Ooh.
No, maybe like 60.
Yeah, they got to be in their 60s.
Yeah.
But follow Paul Stanley on Twitter because he says, like, Gene Simmons is 69.
Oh, jeez. Well, I guess so. I mean, they started like making money or, you know, making like they're on stage like early 70s, so sure.
They had an album out in like 72. The best sex tape that no one cared about was Gene Simmons. There's a Gene Simmons sex tape, and just no one cares. And it's a good-looking woman, but it's him just, like, laying on his back, like, motionless.
And he says, I'm not taking off the shirt.
No, he has a shirt on, and she's good-looking, and he's just, like, laying on the bed. And this woman could care less.
Oh.
And then it's so funny because she probably like made the tape and then was like, I'm going to make $1 billion.
It was like, nobody really cares.
And people were like,
I think he's chewing gum. Like he's putting like zero effort
into
anything.
He might be chewing gum.
And they go in there. Now, this is one that I have watched because I remember he was like, okay, well, Gene Simmons. And he just puts on like a boombox, Lover Boys, I Want to Know What Love Is. And then it's just like, all right, you do all the work. I'm just going to kind of sit here and chill.
Not even like not even touching her. He just, arms to the side, just sitting there.
It's like making love to a pile of mashed potatoes.
Well, that's it. That's the new show. Catering's here. And the time is now. Look at those mashed potatoes. I'm going to make them say, wow. Got some garlic on my nuts. All right, Rich, we have what happened last night coming up. What will we talk about?
The Celtics win their sixth in a row, and last night might have been their best. Also, Bill Belichick gets peppered with questions on why the hell wasn't Devin McCourty on the field on final play.
Sorry, he was very forthcoming.
All right, we will be right back.
95 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' go twos. Participation may vary. The Celtics win their sixth in a row, and last night might have been their best.
Tatum crossover, pass Davis, in the air, throws it down hard with the right hand. Spectacular from Jason Tatum.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
That pizza, one, please. You can see that one coming.
Okay.
Someone was watching something.
He's a big fan of the ABBA movie. Well, it was the future Celtics versus the barely Celtics. Anthony Davis versus guys not named Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Aaron Baines, or Gershon Yabusele. And in the end, the D-list Celtics still put a beatdown on the New Orleans Pelicans, 113-100. Marcus Morris led the way with 31 points. It seemed like every time he launched up a three, and it was a lot, it seemed to go in. Jason Tatum, he ripped off 21 points as well, and it sure is good to see Jaylen Brown getting comfortable once again.
Williams screen, left-hand dribble into the corner. Jaylen Brown fires up a three at the shot clock buzzer and hits it. And sometimes it's going to be your night. And for the Celtics, so many things were going wrong. It's a night that you knew was going to go right. Drew Holiday spins, floats one up, and Robert Williams blocks it into the second row. Jaylen Brown was there too.
Man, that's rejection, Holmes.
Yep. Well, ever since Jaylen's return.
Yeah, Holmes.
Holmes. He's, got sudden, he's got Mamma Mia and Holmes. Yep. He's pretty cool.
Well, he was just watching Color.
Can't always be sandwiches, guys. Got to change it up every once in a while.
Right, Holmes.
I guess so. Well, Jaylen's been great since he's been back. And last night he notched 19 points, including 4 threes. But the guy everyone is talking about this morning is a dude that we haven't seen much of this year, seeing that he is the fourth string big man. But when you can do this against Anthony Davis, look at NBA.
Anthony Davis at the mid-block, bumps with Williams. It'll fall away, and Robert Williams reaches out and blocks it clean into the hands of Morris. Lead for Wanamaker up the right side.
Naughty my gin bar, please.
What?
Yep.
Naughty my gin bar?
Not in my gin bar.
Okay. For some reason, they said naughty my gin bar.
Well, listen, everyone's going to... If only there was a bar that only served gin.
That would be a naughty gin.
By the way, Williams just had a kid.
Yeah, he did, like a couple days ago. Well, Robert Williams goes from oversleeping for his introductory press conference to rejecting Anthony Davis not once, but twice last night. He finished with 7 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks over 26 minutes. But those two rejections of Davis will burn in your retinas for weeks to come. I heard people last night saying, see, maybe you don't need Anthony Davis after all. The guy scored 41 points last night, and it didn't even seem like a big deal.
Who's saying that?
Like when he said,
I'd like to meet those people. Who's saying that?
You know, the Twitter experts.
I see.
It was so funny last night because Anthony Davis sits down, and they ended up putting him on the bench with like 3 minutes left. I mean, it was the Celtics were going to win. And you saw his stat line, and you went, man, it just felt like a normal game.
He also got a round of applause. Well, that's the other thing when he sat down.
Let's get to that. During his introduction last night, Fred, the place went nuts at the TD Garden. I love it. The crowd at the Garden.
Well, it's because he's black. Just like when they said Gordon Hayward got all the applause because he was white.
Yeah, that was one of the more stupid takes that was thrown out there. But no, it's because the crowd at the Garden is always recruiting. And it worked with Gordon Hayward.
Yes,
so why not do it?
Entirely why he came to the team.
I mean, Gordon Hayward did say that he loved the reception that he got. I mean, you could say what you will, but he did mention that.
I don't think it matters.
Well, John, of course in the end it doesn't matter, essentially. But I wouldn't stop if I was the Garden crowd, too. I thought it was hysterical. So, and it was like comically over the top when they introduced him last night. So he was asked about it, Anthony Davis, about his overly warm reception, and here's what he had to say.
Are you cognizant of how the fans respond to you here, like cheer during warm-ups? And, you know, obviously your name is always mentioned, but do you hear it? Do you pay attention to it at all?
I heard it tonight, but, you know, I'm focused on this team. I'm trying to do whatever I can to help this team get wins with the roster we have. Like I said, it's been a rocky season, so it's on me to try to figure it out. I know the team follows me.
Who's got the chainsaw in the background? The hell was that?
I don't know. Maybe it was the guy who... Well, forget it. It's going back too long for a reference.
Okay. Well, afterwards, Robert Williams was asked about defending the unibrow, and more specifically, his two rejections earlier that night.
It's a lot of support. It's a lot of support, I say, for the next man up. It's no envy. It's no hate. It's all pushing forward. So you just got to be ready.
Yeah, so Sean Grandy, the stat master, is blowing minds with stats once again as he tweeted out a stat storm yesterday evening. You ready, Wallach?
I'm ready.
Okay, so during the Celtics' 6-game winning streak, the Celtics rank first in offense, third in defense, first in net rating, first in scoring, first in field goal percentage, first in three-point percentage, first in rebounding, first in assists, first in effective field goal percentage, and first in true shooting. What the hell is true shooting?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, either way, they're ranked first in it.
Field goal percentage.
In other words, the Celtics are playing well.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Very well.
They're playing about as well as we thought they would at the beginning of the season. They're cruising through a nice portion of the schedule here.
Well, we talked about
this yesterday. There are no monsters out there that they have to face until a couple of weeks from now when they play Milwaukee. They got Philadelphia Christmas Day. Houston's coming up and Minnesota again.
Well, Houston's not very good right
now. Well, I mean, the point is Houston still has talent. They can be difficult.
Sure.
And, you know, that game's on the road. But now, for the here and now, they won 6 in a row, and they have Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, and Phoenix all in a row right in front of them. I mean, this really has a chance to be a long, long win streak. And they're only 4 games behind Toronto now in the East. They're in fifth position, I believe. So all the hand-wringing, you know, they got hot like we all expected they would, and here they are. Yeah. They're just as good as anybody else.
Does anyone know what effective field goal percentage is?
I have no idea. Did you look up the definition?
I did.
Please.
No, I know it off the top of my head.
Crush me with some stats, my man.
It sounds fun. It's field goals plus .5 for three-pointers.
Yeah.
Slash
FGA.
Field goals attempted.
This statistic adjusts for the fact that 3-point field goals is worth more than 2-point field goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't know that, John.
Plus an extra. No, I'm listening to it. It makes sense to me.
All right. What was the other one?
The other one was true shooting. Fake shooting. Not any of that fraud
shooting.
I
thought I had a handle on the first one. I have no idea what true shooting
is. It probably just means not free throws. If I had to guess, it would be everything outside of free throws.
Okay.
Because that's not true shooting.
In basketball, true shooting percentage is an AP BR metric statistic that measures a player's efficiency at shooting the ball. It is intended to more accurately calculate.
I have no idea. Still, even after you read that.
Okay.
What the hell that means.
All right, hang on one second.
Okay, please.
Oh, boy. Okay. It is calculated by TS percentage equals points over to a parentheses field goal attempts plus 0.44 times free throw attempts, and then times 100.
That's per 100 possessions, I would imagine. That's why it's times 100.
John, stop acting like you have any idea what's going on.
I'm guessing. No, I don't have a full knowledge. No. I've already said that. I'm not trying to be anything I'm not.
But
come
before
on.
This, you said that you had a handle on the on the other one, which you didn't.
No. I thought I had a handle on it after you explained it.
All right. Well, this is TS percentage equals points over to parentheses field goal attempts plus parentheses again 0.44 times free throw attempts.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I got
times
that.
100.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, of course it is, Fred. Come on. I knew that. Everyone knew that.
Who cares about that? Even if I'm a team, who cares about that? Why is that necessary? Why does Grandy know that?
I like how people relate to numbers.
Well, thank you very much.
Sports are fun.
That's the stats guy right there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're just ranked first in a lot of things. They're doing well. And, John, you know, we even yesterday were putting everything in perspective. Now, I do believe that they have righted the ship. I like that starting lineup that they've been rolling out there. I like the fact that Gordon Hayward's now coming off the bench. Like, everything seems to
matchups are a little bit. For instance, Drew Holiday went off the last time Toronto played. He scored 35 or 40 points.
Right.
Marcus Smart in the starting lineup certainly helps because he completely neutralized
him at
the beginning of the game.
What's his 3-point percentage now? Because he's making his 3-point shots.
Marcus Smart?
Yeah, like he's... it just seems like he's making his shots now.
I think that might be an illusion.
Maybe it is. I know he passed Danny Ainge.
He didn't make any threes
shots
last night, Rich.
Well, I know, but as of late, like in the past like several games, like it seems like he's... Like this season, take a look.
Yeah.
His percentage
last
has
five
to be
games,
up.
He's shooting 29% from three.
Okay. Marcus Smart is shooting for the season...
30%. 31%.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just the sheer volume he's tossing up there. It seems like there are more going in.
No, but he's shooting
with confidence.
I know
he passed Danny Ainge.
Well, those are career threes made. I think in this day and age when everyone shoots threes, that's probably not as gaudy a stat as it used to be.
Well, we were kind of ripping on Rozier a little bit yesterday because, you know, after the game, their fifth win, he was like, yeah, so all the people who said, after they blew out the Bulls, like all the people who was, you know, yelling at us that we couldn't figure it out, you know, they can all shut up now. And that I was just like, dude, you haven't beat a team during that streak over 500 yet.
No.
So, and even last night, you know, the Pelicans, here's why last night's win was the best of the streak, was because you didn't have so many players. And this was the scrubs that went out there outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You had, like, nobody who's a starter. You had guys like... Williams was out there, and I mean, it was just Fred, I bet that if you would have watched the game last night, there'd probably been two players you're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, oh, there's no question about it.
And the best thing about it was that even with everyone out, they were able to beat a pretty good team
and
with
they never
a great
fell,
player.
And they never fell behind either.
No.
It was methodical. It's like, okay, you know, and Marcus Morris got hot, which is what Marcus Morris does. And it was a lot of fun to watch because you didn't expect anything. And Anthony Davis scored 41 points in the flow of the offense. He didn't dominate the game.
No. As I said, it was like the quietest 41 points, but that's just how good Anthony Davis is. When he sat down, I'm like, well, that's a monster stat line. You know how much anyone else would be freaking out if there was a Celtic this morning that had gotten 41 points? Like, it would be huge. But Anthony Davis is just kind of another day at the office.
They did figure it out, and people are taking to their roles. And the fact that Marcus Moore scored 31 points last night doesn't mean he's going to get 31 tomorrow night against Washington.
But I like
that's the beauty of this team, the way it is right now.
But
because you don't know who's going to play one night to the next at the moment.
Well, Jaylen Brown, I just like the fact that he's being aggressive. Like he's actually he's getting into the paint, which everyone was afraid to do. And for a while, even last night, they were afraid to do it. They were just chucking up threes. A lot of them were going in, though, which is, you know, good to see. Like they weren't at the beginning of the season, but yeah. So I can't wait. The Bucks was at the 21st.
Like that's the next real game. Washington, they play tomorrow night. Washington's a disaster. I mean, they play Detroit. They're one game over 500, but they got Phoenix in there. There are a lot of easy games here in the short term.
All right, Rich, what will we talk about next?
All right, let's get to Bill Belichick answering the tough questions about why Devin McCourty wasn't up there in the last game, at the last play of the game.
All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Well, it's the play that almost made Roach swear.
Oh, Jesus! What are they doing, dude? Oh, that's it. Get him!
Oh my God!
No.
Oh my God! Oh, you're not gonna like this.
Holy crap, huh?
Holy crap.
And it was all caused by John Wallach.
That was the big thing yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everyone blame me for this yesterday?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you were at the game. You were the cooler.
At the game. Yeah,
that's it. That people were looking up and seeing Wallach and being mystified that he had been at the game.
Yeah. Did you stay till the very end?
Yes, I did. Right. I was there till the very last second.
And you said it was more Patriots fans than Miami fans.
It was about 60-40 Patriots to Dolphins fans in the building.
All right, what's going on in the stadium when that happens?
All the Dolphins fans were very quiet the entire game. They expected to lose. Every Dolphins fan in that building, including my wife, who was a Dolphins fan, was sitting next to me, expected to lose that game. And then they won, and it was like a bomb went off, an explosion of sound. It really was. And all the Patriots fans are standing there, and all the Dolphins fans who hadn't said anything the entire game were turning around and pointing at Patriots fans, saying, "Look, you guys suck. Oh my God, give me a break."
If I'm a Dolphins fan, why am I staying for the end of that game?
I don't know.
There's no scenario I'm staying for the end of that game.
Why are you going to that game? I mean, it's like one of those things where
it's 85 degrees and you got nothing better to do. I don't know.
Well, because there's a nightclub apparently in the actual football stadium.
I didn't see it.
According to Scott Zolak,
I did not see it.
Or Bob Soucy, rather. Like
Soucy was the guy who spotted this?
You have to walk through it to get to the broadcast booth.
I was just thinking Bob didn't go exploring for it.
No, he said that. So after the game, Zolak and Soucy had to walk through a nightclub.
They should be called.
That's right, together.
Like Bennifer.
Yes, that's right. Zosi had to together walk through essentially a nightclub that was going crazy because of that win.
Walking out of that stadium was not fun.
Soucy's definition of nightclub might be a little funny.
Yeah, you're right. It might just have been like, you know, somebody playing doo-wop outside of the hot dog
stand. So it's
not
the Clevelander? It's something else?
No, I bet you it was like they were playing Celebrate Good Time. There's like a bunch of old people dancing. So it's just like this damn...
These youngins.
This disco scene.
Well, 2 days later, the Miami Miracle is still being played on TVs everywhere. As a matter of fact, it took less than 24 hours for the Dolphins to take a still from that play and make a rap that they put on several of the elevators at Dolphin Stadium. Did you see that?
I did not, but it's got to be pretty cool.
It's way cool. As a matter of fact, I mean, it takes down
the one that Zach Thomas used to have. Really, there is no modern play. I took a look around that place. There's no modern picture of anybody. There's no Kenny Stills. There's like Zach Thomas and Mercury Morris and, you know, Larry Zonka. And they have nobody, you know, there's no Ryan Tannehill. Fathead staring at you.
Well, you go up to Mercury Morris's and you teach your kids this is how you want to live your
life. That's right.
Right. This isn't a man who's bitter at all.
And not only bitter, this is a man who's so... Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah. He's still alive. You'll know it when he dies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Because he's... I believe he's tempted death on a few occasions.
There is no one.
Substance abuse alone. Yeah, well,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no one more obnoxious during that almost perfect season for the Patriots than Mercury Morris. That was just, they put him on TV every chance they could. But I mean, you know what? You end up on the butt end of an all time play. Sometimes you got to sit there and take it for the Patriots. But yesterday, Belichick was peppered with questions on his conference call with the media as to why it was Gronk and not Devin McCourty on the field for the final play.
Just curious, did you give much thought to going with a regular type of pass defense instead of the Hail Mary defense at the end?
No.
And I'm just curious, of all the players to come off the field on the last play, why was it Devin McCourty who came off? He seems to be one of your team's faster players and one of your better tacklers. Why was he the one who came off?
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
See, we know that.
Do you wish in hindsight you had him on the field for that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play. I think there are a lot of things that could have been better in the entire game.
It sounds like he really wants to be there. I just love the
There's a bunch of things. Jonathan Jones in the field. There's like a million things wrong with that.
How about make a tackle at the 30 with the guy standing right next to you?
Well, and then also, I understand Gronkowski's not I'm the only one who's saying this to my knowledge, but I understand Gronkowski's not a defensive player, but the inability to find any angle
to get
him down is ridiculous. It's 70 yards.
Yeah.
Having Gronk back there was not the reason they couldn't stop him.
Well, but if
McCourty's playing,
yes.
is playing there, he's the fastest guy on the team.
Sure, if McCourty's on the back line, it does, but they expect it incorrectly because Adam Gase said afterwards Tannehill didn't have the arm to get it to the end.
Oh, to throw 70 yards?
Yeah, no, he didn't. But in the end, Gronk has always been there. They've had Randy Moss play back there. They expected a jump ball. That was the mistake. They were incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if you expected a Hail Mary from 70 yards out, you're wrong. It was a mistake because Gronk was left back there because the 10 guys in front of him couldn't make a damn tackle.
But you also took a guy who played who had been in every snap, and you took him out for one play.
Your fastest player.
I know.
The best tackler.
Maybe so.
Stop talking about Gronk. Talk about why Devin McCourty wasn't out there.
I understand that, but you know what? The way that play broke down, McCourty would have been on the other side of the field anyway. It would have been Gronk and the guy. That's what it would have been. Ultimately, Gronk was the last line of defense for that play. That's the way it's always been. They've always had a wide receiver, or in that case, Gronk back there for a jump ball.
But that's a jump ball situation, and this was not a jump ball situation.
The mistake was not expecting it. The mistake was not expecting a pass in the middle of the field.
I also don't understand why you take Devin McCourty off the field in any situation like that.
Well, what was great was that, first of all,
Jonathan Jones is better than McCourty.
No, he's not. In that situation, you're right. You want a good tackler out there. But in the end, you know, I don't think McCourty would have altered whether or not that Hail Mary worked or not worked. Because Gronk still would have been on the field.
I think it would have.
I don't think so.
The argument is instead of McCourty, you would put McCourty back instead of Gronk.
Say, if you're the Patriots and you think it's going to be a jump ball, then Gronk's going to be out there. He's always been out there. That's the way they've always substituted.
Yeah, but that's wrong.
Of course it's wrong using hindsight, but...
No, but it's wrong just in practice. I mean, why don't you pull some... First of all, you had like eight jabronis out there. Their defensive line was weird at that point. Well, it was all bad.
I just love Belichick on that conference call, too. It's like, now, can you tell us why you had Devin McCourty on the bench and had Gronk out there instead? And he goes, well, that's the package we ran. Okay, then follow it up by saying, okay, well, why did you run that package? We understand that.
That's the way we've always done it. That's the way we decided to do it.
No, that's the package we ran. Well, okay, we saw that was the package. I'm asking you why you ran that package. And by the way, there's a video that came out yesterday of Rob Gronkowski. It was from the field level that someone had filmed of him standing there like waiting for the play to come to him. And the whole criticism was like, look, Rob Gronkowski's walking throughout the entire play until the guy comes. It was like, what did you expect him to do?
Yeah.
Like, why is anyone giving Rob Gronkowski any crap for any?
I'm giving him crap. I'm giving him crap.
He's broken. We've been saying all season long the guy is slow.
I said he shouldn't have been out there.
Yes.
But if you give me seven, not me particularly, but if you give a professional athlete 70 yards to read a play And the guy's running down the sideline. It's not like it's in the middle of the field, yeah. And he puts some spin move on you. I mean, to get an angle of a guy who's running down the sideline, all you have to do is touch him out of bounds.
Yeah.
But, yes, I mean, he shouldn't have been put in that situation. But as a, I mean, he's still an athlete, regardless of how banged up he is.
I think he was mystified that the guy was actually one-on-one with him because he ran through five people.
You missed it, Wallach. You should have heard Zolak talking about how awesome it was that Gronk was on the field before the play happened.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's like, there's my man Buzz Lightyear out there waving to the crowd. Yeah, and then that happens. I mean, it was the best.
It's everything I always say is that, like, you're going to, you let your guard down and you're at a Red Sox game and you're smiling. And then all it's singing Sweet Caroline, and all of a sudden a foul ball goes right into your face. It was like Gronkowski was out there, and he's like, yeah, fans, I'm drunk, and I'm on the field.
And it was just like, womp womp. Yeah, there were 35 seconds of silence after the play.
Oh, really?
On the radio.
I read that. I have not heard the call.
We played it yesterday, and 35 seconds of just saying it is one thing. But to hear a play-by-play radio broadcast... Yeah. Have nothing but just the crowd going nuts for 35 seconds. It was crazy. And also, by the way, Bill Belichick yesterday, I love it. Apparently, he was asked by another radio station about that end of it. And he said, hey, nobody died. Everyone just chill. Bill's been hanging out with RKK a little too much, me think.
RKK is like, take a hit of this, baby. Let's just forget about our worries.
Nobody died, man.
Come on. Loosen up.
What is Belichick
ever saying?
It's
just gonorrhea. Take some psyllin' and let's get rocking.
Some psyllin'.
Yeah, I don't got time for that. No one died, baby. Just take
What has Belichick ever said that before?
Never.
Never.
Never. Never.
Never. I mean,
every loss is tear your heart out and throw it on the floor. Except for Sunday, which is fine.
Like he's sitting on his Bowflex like inside shorts.
Or he's on that cycle that he does while he watches film.
Yeah.
Right.
Except he's going extra slow this time.
Yeah, he's in a beanbag chair, just kick your back.
No
one's died, baby.
Him and Ernie Adams are just tossing one back and forth.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. Nobody did die.
Nobody died, bro.
That was the most surprising thing of anything Belichick said, either after the game or yesterday. It's like, nobody died. It's football. I'm sorry, you've been life and death about this sport for 40 years. You've dedicated your life to this sport for 40 years and have basically told everyone to F off. You know more about it than everyone else.
It's the new
Belichick,
baby. And
you made a gigantic mistake, and now it doesn't matter?
Now the argument could be is, you know, does he have the passion that he used to have for the game? Mm. Or you know, you could just, he's just, you know, sitting in a van just...
What the hell, a check? That's what I say.
Get in the van. He's in front of a roller rink in a van. Let's rock. All right, it's caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Oh, he's turned into the crowd. 617-931-0985 will score $100 season 52 gift card and 1 hour massage from Elements Massage. Pick up your gift cards in-store or at elementsmassage.com, the gift that's always in style. There is a possible trade rumor involving the Bruins that we could discuss.
Toucher and Rich. Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Yes. We have a Mark Jamelli sighting on our Twitch account right now where you can watch us once again. Go to twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub, or you can download the Twitch app, and right there's a video of us, and on the right there's a chat board, and a bunch of people who are watching the show can talk to each other, and one of those people right now is the one and only Mark Jamelli.
Kelly's roast beef.
So apparently he's coming in today to record commercials. He's the official endorser.
Nicholas, we got to return a commercial. Kelly's
comforting
roast.
Price. That's nice.
Comforting price. I'm delighted.
When's he going to be here?
I think around 11. Okay. So Fred wants to leave. Yeah, you got.
I'm going to be here at 11. Come on. That's a good point.
So, yeah, so he will be here.
Do I keep my pants on or do I take them off?
No, do I take them off?
So he can, you can chat with Mark Gemelli as well as watch the show.
By the way, I looked earlier. He was on at 6:01 this morning.
Good for him. Good for him, man.
The second the show started, there he was.
I wake up, I make a Manhattan, talk to everyone. Hey, everyone, someone just pulled in the parking garage across the street.
Mazel tov.
Yes, all right. Where are you going to go eat? You're gonna...
Calhoun's.
Calhoun's.
Wow. Wow, things out the window. I'm in an automobile.
That's right, you know.
Ford wheels rolling down the road.
Kelly's Road Speed.
That is the best.
Oh, look, it's the King of Burgers.
Bird, my little son.
It's got a Burger King. Wow, your majesty.
DB's Golden Banana.
I bet you there's a lot of boobs in there. Nicholas. Let's go in and make brumskis.
I always thought Golden Banana was the worst name for a female strip club.
Brumskis.
It's amazing.
I got a free recliner today.
Where did you get it?
At Bernie and Phil's in Saugus.
No way.
I did.
Yes, did. This stuff doesn't even faze Nick anymore. And they all look over there. You did the whole brumski thing. Didn't even faze him. Didn't even faze him.
Yeah, I got two recliners. Come on.
Is that Jimmy two recliners?
I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't, you know, maybe I'm not so worried about it, okay?
Can we just do an interview with him?
Jimmy two recliners? That's what my next thing was, just to be like, next year, just to have, you know, the guy go, you know, because you know he's going to kind of undercut Mark Gemelli, so you just be like, yeah, you know. He comes to me. Why did he come to him again?
Because he had a pair of socks, remember?
Yeah.
but Nick's dad needed nice socks, so...
You think he's better than me? What is he? He come over here to my sock drawer. Argyles, the kind that have the strap.
Oh, the strap socks.
Yeah.
The old man's strap socks.
Yeah, you know, you put those on, you put a pair of Divas on, you put those socks on, you're all right.
I could fit four recliners in this thing.
You see this one? $15 at the Gap. I splurged.
My name's Mark. Mark Gemelli. Now let's play Baccarat.
Where is he, Nick? Is he going under the name Mark Gemelli on here? Is just straight up Mark Gemelli? I'm surprised that name wasn't taken already.
Oh, they call me Marky the Kid.
Oh, really? Oh, there he is. Yes. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rich.
11 o'clock, is that when he's coming by? I might stick around. No, I got
11 o'clock on the dot.
Wow, this is famous.
I'm so nervous I'm going to poop.
All right, so the rumor is that Don Sweeney, well, this is not a rumor, but on Sunday, Don Sweeney, of course, general manager of the Boston Bruins, was in Edmonton for the Oilers-Flames game. And the idea is that in a trade involving Torey Krug, they could be going after Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who, of course, was the first pick in the draft a few years ago. And the idea is that he can come in and bolster this offense. The Oilers have a need, and that is a defenseman who can move the puck. It's believed that the Bruins think that they're core right now and believe that they can re-sign McAvoy. But there could be a chance they have to throw in DeBrusk.
So now, it would be DeBrusk and Krug for Nugent Hopkins?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
DeBrusk has got 10 goals. He's from Edmonton. Plus, Krug has a limited no-trade clause. There's 8 teams that he said he would go to.
Why would you want to trade a guy who's younger than Nugent Hopkins that has more goals than he does?
I don't know. But he has Nugent Hopkins has 8 goals and 18 assists this year. So, but they would in part maybe with DeBrusk, but Bjork, of course, Donato, Carlson, Heinen, Those are all guys that are rumored, too. I would not trade DeBrusk and Krug for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Oh, did you hear
I would trade Krug.
Did you hear the worst rumor that was thrown out there? And I don't even know how much credence there was.
By the way, this is the Boston Globe that said that I should give them credit.
Okay. The worst rumor that was thrown out there was that the Bruins were looking at Milan Lucic to come back.
Geez,
and then
God,
I say, has anyone seen Milan Lucic play? He's not even a first. He's not in the first two lines anymore, is he?
No,
he's terrible. But even his style of play, they wouldn't need. Who said that?
That was been floating out there in the Twitterverse.
Okay, and, because it's only someone that style of play they don't. Besides him being no good anymore.
Here's where it came from. It came from, they don't have any like tough guys on this team during that. And so immediately, because there's such a limited amount of references that some of these fans have, they go, well, Lucic was tough.
Oh, hold on. Just real quick, the facts are his cap hit is $6 million a season, and he's got 4 years left on his contract after this one.
Right, and he is, he's a like gritty sandpaper guy, which the Bruins have 5,000.
Hasn't he scored 2 goals in the last 90 games he's played
Dan,
in? Something
Dan
like
has
that.
It.
One stats this year: games played, 30 goals, 1 assists, 5.
Yeah, I think he scored 2 goals in his last 70 or 80 games.
And by the way, people, the idea that the Bruins are going to go out and get some enforcer is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, Chara's coming back. Kevin Miller's going to be coming back.
Yeah, but you can't use a roster spot on some guy who can just fight anymore.
No, of course not. It's been that way for at least the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people take liberties. Sweeney said it as well, but you can't waste your time worrying about them getting some enforcer. It's just not going to happen.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.